Welcome to Fratelli di Rugby Podcast, the English-speaking Italian rugby podcast.
You are listening Fratelli di Rugby Podcast. Enjoy.
Hello. Ciao a tutti. Ciao ragazzi. Mike, how are you?
I'm good, thank you, mate. We are live.
Yes. Back live, back in action. How was the trip? Because you weren't here, so how was...
Yeah. Sadly, it was the weather was stormy, and you never complain, right? When you go abroad, but there was definitely better places to go. So, it was nice, and it wasn't nice.
Did you find those good chips that I tell you? Those combos?
No. Oh. This is so funny, right? Someone said to me, "No one walks in Florida, right? No one walks in Miami." And we were trying to cross the road from the hotel to get to a Denny's breakfast.
Yeah,
the pancake thing. And mate, we walked literally a mile one way. We walked a mile the other way, and there was nowhere to cross. And the boys were like, "Shall we just get an Uber across the street from the hotel?" Because there was literally nowhere to cross on a main road. But other than that, it's all good.
Great, Marcello.
March.
Buonasera. How are we?
Buonasera.
Repping the Juve top.
Mamma mia, that shirt today. Wow. Wow.
Thought you'd like it.
I prefer a flamingo pink zebra than a Juventus zebra, but still.
That's why I did it. I did it in homage to zebra at the weekend.
Nice.
For context, Otto's an avid Lazio fan, aren't you? I mean, Lazio fan, right? March has popped on for the guys who are listening with a Juve top, so you can see the steam coming out of Otto's ears.
Steaming. Actually, my last game at Olimpico, before the next time, there's going to be the first game of the Six Nations, was Lazio Juventus, actually. So long time ago, when we beat Juventus 2-1 in Coppa Italia, but like ages ago. So
2003?
No, something after that. I'm gonna check, but important now. Let's speak about the other kind of ball now, because the round one for other context. Always good.
But. Sorry.
Good weekend, chaps. Hey, good weekend.
Yeah.
Very good. I think the best place to start is Benetton on Friday night. Starting that order.
Yes.
Oh, fancy. Benetton. So fancy.
Always.
I love the fanciness.
Always ready for everything.
By the way, how do we see like the chat as I'm talking?
It should be on the side. I've actually gone full screen, so I can't see it myself. But yeah, it's just on the side.
I can post it.
So let's start with you, and then March will come to you, and I'll give you my thoughts last. But gents, like, what a weekend! What a weekend!
Lovely weekend when you don't have to worry about anything. Because you just won two games with two franchises, so an happy weekend, let's say. Two different performance, but really clever. Like the result was there. Little bit more struggling Zebre, but hey, come on! I saw good stuff from Zebre, even if the result was really tight. But good stuff coming. Good players coming too.
I think there's probably merit in Zebre's win against the Dragons, in the sense that I think we probably all maybe expected Zebre to win, and if we didn't expect them to win, then we'd certainly expected them to go very close. I thought that it should be relatively straightforward given the Dragons' form this season. I mean, I think they beat Oyana, haven't they? And that's it this season. I know they've got a couple in, they got a win, they beat Ospreys, didn't they? But generally speaking, they've not been great. So I expected Zebre to win that. And then I think Benetton the same. Went into that game expecting to win, but I guess the merit in that performance was that they went and delivered with that sort of expectation. They went away from home in Europe, winning away and putting almost 60 points on a Premiership team, albeit one that hasn't won all season, but still pretty impressive performance and some standout individual performances as well, which a lot of people are getting excited about.
Yeah, I mean,
Motherman and Chevrolet.
Yeah. The boy,
basically,
the boy. You can only beat what's in front of you, though. Like that's sort of the issue. Yes, you know, you can say about Dragons, and you can say about Newcastle not being on the best run of form. But in the same vein, like no one was offering the same sort of absolution when Zebre or Benetton weren't playing, you know, their best. People were just like, well, that's it, game over. We're just going to beat them. So, you know, it's good that the tides have turned a little bit for Italian rugby. And like you said, you know, there's big strides already made this season. But I think if we focus on the Benetton game, like we said at the start, like Benetton look like they evolved a little bit. And obviously I'll come to your eye, Otto, because it's probably a little bit more cultured / nausea than ours. But it's more like the fact that it seemed like from the week before they built on a result, it started to click even more. And we saw a little bit more about what Benetton could achieve. You know, this is what Benetton could do when they're playing well. And if they can replicate that against top opposition, they're going to be a handful for a lot of teams, don't you think?
Well, yeah, I agree with what you just said, because Mike, they were really confident. I think the defense, the way they were defending, like, you don't have to go juggle sometimes when the defense is so effective. They can push backward the attack just with good old hits, strong hits in the middle. You need to involve one player. And that was something really important during the game, because the yellow card at the beginning was like, oh, come on, it's going to be something like last year Benetton. But the team was really strong, and the individual players shine in this environment, in this moment. So what they did differently was, of course, you got back Nacho Brex. We were live, actually. I was live for that game, so there is the one hour and a half reaction of what happened during the watch along. But hey, Brex was those hands were so silky, and all the players around, they were so strong, running the right lines in the right moment, in the right channel. That for me was key in attack, Brex, to bring that momentum in attack that we know since last year. This year was rusty at the beginning, but Brex wasn't there. So that for me is the key there, and the defense, extra good defense. Then, of course, Menoncello is back in this form. Seems like he never had an injury, let's say.
Yeah.
So the legs are strong. The injury was on the shoulder, but he's still strong.
I think that's quite impressive, the way he's... Sometimes players, especially in rugby, it can take a while to get back into the swing of it. But he seems to have just come back in and almost looks like he's strengthened during his injury spell. Which is quite impressive. Like, physically, he looks really big. He looks really strong. And we saw that with that try as well, in particular, didn't we? When he sort of crashes through a couple of tackles and no one can really hold on to him. So I'm very impressed. I didn't expect him to hit the ground running quite as quickly as this. But with Six Nations just around the corner, he literally probably couldn't be in better form, I guess.
Yeah, I would agree. I just want to sort of latch onto a point that you made. How many times have we seen top Italian talent not come back the same after an injury? And I'm thinking
Campagnaro,
Ledri, Minozzi. Like, we can make a long list, right? But it's nice to see players like Lamaro, for example, with his ACL a few years ago, and obviously Menoncello with the soldier bicep injury, whatever it was. we're starting to see a mental fortitude that maybe we've lacked in previous years, and I think that's probably got something to do with the investment from a psychological standpoint in the coaching staff and what we've seen at national team level as well. So there's some credence to the fact that they are and they have been working about it in the background, just like to try and, you know, resolve the fear of coming back to play. So we're starting to see that. You know, Madin's another one that I can think of, like how well did he just sort of slot in? And it also goes to show how much the franchises are looking after the players before bringing them back, because we didn't have the luxury of the depth that we have and, you know, the squad that we have to rotate the players. So it looks like they're coming back when they're 100% fit, which is giving them confidence, which is quite nice as well. So really valid point with regards to that.
And also the bench guys. The bench was really, really strong coming in from Benetton this week. So that is something more, because Zani and Pasquale performed well in the scrum. And then as we tweet about the game, when you have Zuliani starting and then Izegor came in for Zuliani, bringing the same physicality, maybe even more speed, good juggling skills, it's hard for the other team, no? When you don't drop with the finishers, you keep, and maybe you raise the performance like a bomb squad, kind of. So that is going well.
March, what are your thoughts on these, Izakor? Because I know Crowley mentioned...
Well, literally, you read my mind, Mike.
Go on, mate.
So Izakor was named as a... What did they name him as in that squad in December? He was they put him in brackets as a rookie player or something, didn't they?
Yeah.
Is that correct?
Yeah, so for context, for those who haven't seen it or those who don't follow Italian rugby as avidly, there's been two camps made out of domestic players. So the players of the top 14 and the Premiership haven't or weren't able to attend, I assume, due to sort of contractual obligations. But Izakor was invited as like a debutant. So it's going to be interesting to see. I believe it's tomorrow, March, you mentioned.
It's tomorrow.
Yeah, the team's announced. It's going to be interesting to see if some of these players rubbed Kassad in the right way and earned their spot. But just sort of batting Izakor back to you, March. Like he's an interesting player, isn't he? Because Crowley said he is almost a complete player, but he needs to learn how to tackle. And maybe that was slightly tongue in cheek, but what we're seeing is a fantastic tackle rate. I think you mentioned, Otto, it was 98% completion, right? So what are your thoughts?
I'm going to check now. I'm going to
recheck
now.
Statman can't give a wrong stat. But
With the help of Big Lucio, because he got the stuff. Going to give you in a second.
I think Izakor's like, I think me and Tavio have spoken about him before, in the same mold as like a Makalu or a Cameron Wockey, in terms of he's an athlete. He's a big, tall athlete who has got good hands. He's quick. He's agile. You know, he always seems to be in the wide channels. He scores tries. Powerful. He's big and strong. I just think I agree with Quesada, really, in the sense that he is an all-round player. I think obviously he's still very young, and you know, there are obviously bits to work on, but I think he's got everything there. And I do think that you often get in these squads for tournaments a bit of a surprise pick, and I do think that he might be that. I've got a sneaky suspicion that Izakor might squeeze in there. That's sort of like an outside bet potentially. I know that he's in the back row where we're so stacked with options. Good players are going to miss out in that regard.
Absolutely. And to give the idea, let's talk about defense, because then for attack we have other things to say later about him, but Tegels is the from the Italian squad, let's say the large squad called the last one. He complete 124 tackles, more than every other player called by Quesada, with the 98.41% of tackle success.
That's disgusting. So, stuff.
Wow. Yeah, it's disgusting.
Yeah. Two missed tackles, isn't it? Two missed tackles, 124 or 127.
Two missed tackles, right? Two missed tackles. So it's crazy.
You take that to the bank.
That's crazy. Yeah. Think about
he's a hard man to tackle as well. Like I know we're gonna go and talk about like him in more detail, but he runs with really high knees as well. Like if I was a defender and I saw this 115 kilo man just charging at me with his knees to my face, I'm gonna be shit up a little bit as I'm going down.
In PE at school, we used to have a couple of lads in my year group who ran just like that. They were really quick and they'd run with their knees almost up to their chin and they'd run straight at you. And I was the sort of bloke that just would stand out the way and go, "You just go, chief. I'm not going to break my nose trying to tackle you. It's just so hard to stop."
Yeah,
and he feels like he could just step over you if you go too low. He's just like, he's so like,
he's like a hurdle,
not dangly, because that's like that's slightly negative, but long limbs, and like so agile, man.
Yeah. So, Benetton qualified, great. Let's see who's gonna play. Like, it's a free game, it's a free training with the team almost. The game against Montpellier. What do you think, guys? If you were Bortolami, you were going to put a really strong team with a lot of national players, or you're gonna put time stowers, etc., etc.?
They can still top the pool, can't they?
That's the only.
I don't know how much emphasis he'll put on whether he wants to win the pool or not. I'm inclined to think that maybe he won't in the Challenge Cup, because you could sort of get anyone really. You want to try and avoid the teams that drop down, and that would mean you coming fourth in your pool. I think you'd play a team going down from the Champions Cup.
It's about the
home games.
So it's the revenue team, that they generate from the ticket sales. If we're saying it's a full sellout crowd and they're selling it like even let's say €30 a year.
Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot of revenue that they could potentially lose for not playing at home. So I think you probably will about.
And sure, Mike, it's better to play in Monigo than going to play in Toulon, just to say, no?
Yeah.
Benetton's home form is so good, isn't it? They've turned it into a bit of a fortress.
Yeah,
I don't want to go there.
It's great. And just to give context in general of the season of Benetton in Challenge Cup, after three games, Benetton topped the top five for try score, 16. It's second for clean breaks, 32. Fifth for meters made. And then they have the 91% of lineout success. They are number three in the list. And they score most points than everyone in the challenge with 120. So those are the easy-peasy stats. Oh! And the most important thing about defense, how strong is the defense? In the top five, fifth place for the turnovers won, 23 in three games.
Who has the most meters individually?
Individually, I can give you most meters in general. I have meters made is Castre, 1,493. Benetton is fifth. With 13. So 1313.
That's what you do with it, though, isn't it?
Yep.
We learned that from the Six Nations. If you're running it from your 22, you're going to get more meters made. But
you see that? You remember that?
You lose every single game.
Than everyone.
Yeah.
Then here, thinking about game changers, here there is a nice chat going between the viewers. That's funny because Izagor can be a game changer, and this can be the season changer for Benetton, actually. More than last year.
Yeah, I think now, like, we're in a position where we're, as you guys will see later, just to foreshadow what's coming with the selection that we're going to be doing later live, we're in a position where we're talking a lot about selection, and we've never been in this position before. Yeah. It's always been a foregone conclusion, and
we're normally trying to find players to fill the squad.
The only thing that worries sometimes is maybe the lack of experience of the player, but not the quality. You know what I mean? Like, we know there is potential. We saw more potential in some player that seems to be mentally ready, physically ready, technically ready to compete to highest level.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comment.
It's just a different ball game, Six Nations, isn't it? Because when you're coming up against squads with so much experience. But I mean, we're probably in a tournament where there's more to speak about going forward, but squads are quite inexperienced and youthful. They're sort of dropping. There seems to be like a changing of the guard in quite a lot of these squads. So, chance for us to capitalize, maybe.
So, guys, I have a last question for you. Hold on.
And now it's time for the unsung hero of the week for Treviso.
Benetton.
Unsung week, hero.
March, you go first. I knew this was coming and I didn't prepare. So, like, March, please go ahead with your unsung.
Oh, God, because you've caught me off guard as well now. Unsung hero.
Unsung hero.
Oh, I don't know if he's unsung. I'll go for mine. I thought Gallo had a little bit of a dip in form. And with some of the breaks that he made at the weekend, It was Gallo who made that ridiculous pick from the ruck where there was no defenders, right? And he ran like 45 yards and he was gassing like the wingers. Like, it's nice to see him hit form when we need him most, right? When we're in the Six Nations and we're probably going to be losing at least a player or two in his position. It looks like he's starting to step up at the right time for Benetton. And whether this constitutes as unsung or not, he has had a poor run of form and he's starting to find his legs again. He's starting to find what makes him good, which is nice. Do you know what I mean? Like, that's for me.
Perfect. March, go ahead.
You've picked a forward, so I should pick a back, shouldn't I? I quite liked watching Albanos, actually. I feel like he doesn't always get a whole lot of credit, but when your attack's working that well, your 10's always quite vital to that. I quite enjoyed watching him do that. He'd probably be, in terms of an unsung hero, maybe who I'd pick, probably.
Okay, I'm going maybe... I'm going with Zani.
Nice.
Federico Zani for the scrum. Yes, I think he brings experience. He retired from international rugby. So let's put Zani there in the mix because the front row worked well. So
yeah,
yes,
he definitely stabilized it when he came on, didn't he?
Yeah. They come with Pasquale, and yes, they was there, was on point.
I'm always glad that you guys know quite a lot about the scrums because I've got no idea.
Well, in your defense, I picked a guy who wasn't having the best day at set piece, but it's just what he was doing in open play. Like that for me. Was
enough. One for open play, one for the scrum. Justice for props, and cakes for props.
So,
let's move on, Zebre. But before moving to Zebre, let's just remember our good friend, help of analysis. We have Lujo, but we have also the software, so please.
Performance analysis in sport has never been easier. LongerMatch is the right tool for coaches, analysts, and athletes. If you want to learn more about, please visit longermatch.com. Start analysing your games today.
Duck. Here we are.
Fancy.
Back. Fancy, always on point. So let's move on the other game of this big huge double of the weekend. So Zebre versus Dragons. Lanfranchi di Parma, yellow and blue. lot of fun. Really happy this weekend in Parma.
Who wants to go first?
You go, Mike.
Okay. So, it was a story of two tales, wasn't it? At the start, penalties in, I think it was the first, 16 minutes? Four kickable penalties.
Kai Evans kicked everything.
Kicked everything, right. So, that is obviously an area that they need to lock down on, because more confident teams would go to the corner and it could have been 20 points or 25 points and the game's gone, right? So that's something that they need to lock down. They started slow. Zibre typically start slow anyway. But when they found their feet, my God, do they play some nice rugby. And I actually think I'll come up to my unsung hero. But particularly in the centres, like, it worked really, really well. Offset piece when they were giving some strike plays, and they really sort of upped the ante. And I felt like, you know, they were twisting the screw a little bit at times. So, if they can just start this with the same intensity and clarity of thought this as the second half in the first half, they'll be winning more games. That's the only goal that they need to try and achieve for the rest of the season. Start as they finish.
Discipline's been an issue, isn't it? Kind of throughout. The season so far for Zebra, it's causing them problems.
What I think was interesting is the fact that they reset during the, because you spoke about like five penalties given away, but the total penalties given away in the whole game was eight. So after that huge, like, understanding, Rosalie talk about understanding the referee, the discipline of the referee in the game. So that was something. Then adjusting here and there, keeping building confidence with the attack to create a better defense. That worked, because then they get better and better. So I'm going on that side on that. But yes, the discipline, it's something, because Kai Evans decided to kick even from half the field. But sometimes you can go for the line out. They can build something with a mole. So another team is not going to kick. Maybe it's going to put the in the corner the ball, and then there are 7 points. So plus seven, it's hard. Yeah. So yeah, yes, no, exactly. I agree with the discipline. Good for them. They adjust really well.
Yeah.
And these are silly penalties given away in attack, I think. Phantom is right. Like, release the ball when you go down, just do a clear release, because come on, you were in the 22. I understand you are so close to the try, but it's a silly mistake to create something like that, no?
But yeah.
Come on. So, that was a good one when you see a proper kicking you know, Fischetti got one kick retained, because that ball that he kicked, he stayed in the field and Garcia got it. So we have two props that kicks the ball this weekend. The number one, Fischetti, number 17, Rizzoli, they kicked twice. Come on, guys. Yeah. Rizzoli was amazing, that kick.
and March, I'm going to ask you a question on it. So, like, there's some standout players. We'll go through them in a second, but there's one which I think is probably slightly closer to heart because of all of the controversy with London Irish. How good was it to see Fischetti playing like confidently at the weekend, like taking ownership, kicking balls? He was a man possessed,
loading like a crazy. Couple of carries, they were brutal in attack.
I always think he reminds me a little bit of my brother when he was younger. He had quite a round face, a bit of a baby face. And Fisco gives me that sort of baby faced vibe, but he's like that baby faced assassin. And the thing is, like I said to you, I don't know and will never know too much about scrums. I mean, I can analyze them as much as anyone on social media can analyze scrums. Everyone likes to try. But what I look out for in the front row is mobility and pace and skills, and what else can you offer? Because nowadays, the modern day prop, modern day hooker has to be able to do so much more than just scrummage or throw in at the lineup. And I think Fisco does that. Like, he's not, don't think he's by any stretch of the imagination the heaviest bloke, especially in terms of props, like coming up against some of the, you know, the French props or the South African props. He's not a heavy big bloke, but he's strong and he's quick and he's good at the breakdown, and that's what you have to have. And he's a player I love watching, and I'm chuffed for him that after everything that's happened at London Irish and lots of players that have gone through similar things at Worcester and Wasps as well, that players are going on and finding their feet somewhere else and having a good time of it. So to see Fisco back in Italy and playing really well, it's joyous. I'm really enjoying it, and I'm looking forward to seeing him back in the blue of Italy next month as well.
He carried with so much venom, man.
Mamma mia. No, I'm thinking about, like, it seems like the, how you say, oh my God, like, l'erede, Mike, in English.
What's that, sorry?
L'erede, how you say l'erede?
The guy that came, like,
the heir. Rizzoli seems like to be built in that way, like, it seems like a mini Fischetti in some ways.
Yeah, the heir of
the... the hair of Fisco.
The hair of Fisco, is that what we're saying?
Yeah, like, yeah. Yes, the hair of Fisco seems like. But if you think, hopefully Fischetti is going to stay at Zebre, if we look at that as a Zebre fan. On the Italian side fan, we can be happy for him to stay at Zebre if Zebre going to keep building. And if not, maybe he's gonna leave, who knows, but he has 1 year contract with Zebre, so that is something that we have to think about. I'm sure some calls arrived already to his agent, because he's playing as Marcelli Singh, six defenders beaten this season so far, for a prop, it's something. He always absorbs a lot of player with those dancing feet, so
yeah,
good stuff.
He does that better than any, like, I'll hang my hat on this. He does that better than any prop, where he does a shimmy,
pre-contact, footwork.
Yeah, to contact, his footwork's sensational. Yeah. But yeah, I agree with you. I think as a Zebre fan, it'd be nice to see him stay. I think actually, last game was, you know, particularly between sort of the 50 to,
yes, came off 50 matches
from memory. Mate, he was exceptional. He took minutes out of their legs. He knew they were coming off. He was coming off, and he carried with venom.
He pushed everything.
He left everything on the pitch. And when you see a player like that play like that as a young player, right, you're like, oh, that's what I need to do.
Yeah, he's inspiring.
Yeah, he is.
Absolutely.
And so even if we're taking out all of the individual contribution that he, you know, Zebre would lose if he went away, it's the fact that we had someone literally, you know, leave their heart out on the pitch to try and win the game, and the end almost like the group contribution that would be lost as well. So yeah, let's hope Rizzoli, obviously he's a talented boy, but he needs to work on it up here if he wants to be successful, you know.
Slapping the player like he did, yeah, after the great kick. That, come on, that was, yeah, on the Trulaish style, the Trula stuff.
Yeah.
That we know that
every time.
Like
it,
against,
man.
When what happened against Sharks? No, it was against Stormers. I think he had like a same attitude against a player when they were losing. But crazy.
In English, we call them a shit house.
Yeah, yeah. We and you know how much I love those players, but
yeah,
it's all good about like having a bit of a go and having a bit of see about it, and
a bit
and,
like
and
going. was it Bruno last Six Nations when he was simbined in two games running, wasn't he? Mm. I think was it last Six Nations, might have been the one before, but he's a similar mold of one of those players that's still not. Bothers me, but I love it at the same time. But you have to just, there's a time and a place for it, isn't it? We've got to talk about the other baby-faced assassin, Simone Jezzi, who more tries. Can we ignore him? Can he be ignored anymore? I know we're going to talk about our in-form Italian side, but if there is an in-form Italian side, then he's the number 11.
So after this nice streaming, you can go watch the performance on my channel because it's already out. Simone Jezzi versus Dragons, but yo, that was a game. Like, he didn't got so many playing passes, let's say, but he was on point.
Even a turnover.
The turnover on. His only issue with on an eye ball, because he didn't catch that ball. He catch all the other eye ball, because that is the issue. No, we spoke about he's gonna be good in the aerial game. Okay, he was good, but from a mistake he got even better with that. The turnover was amazing there. Really amazing.
That obviously we talk about it at length about. You know, and this is probably, you know, where you can come in and correct me, because it's more your sort of position growing up as well. But for me to have like a test molded winger or fullback, Jezzi is wiry. He does everything beautifully. Like, he backs himself on the outside, he backs himself on the inside. My one question mark was in the air, and obviously a lot of the questions were answered last game. However, the ball he dropped, he wasn't under too much pressure, right? And in test rugby, they're constantly under pressure. Like, I look at Steward and I'm like, imagine what we could do with a Steward, right? Imagine what Italy could do with a Steward. And March, do you think he's someone who we could potentially have at wing, or what are your thoughts on him?
Well, yeah, I think when you talk about having like a Steward, I'm not saying he's as good as Steward, but like for me, Padovani's in that similar mold, in that he's really tall, he's confident, he's a bit more of a bigger presence. And I think for Jezzi, the problem is that in the air, you have to be physically confident, because when you're up there, you're vulnerable. And when you come back down on deck, when you've caught that ball, you're vulnerable again. That is when you're arguably at your most vulnerable point physically in a game of rugby, is when you're coming down from a catch with your ribs exposed and you're just there for anyone to take you. So I think that all sort of comes into his, not issue, because lots of small wingers go on and have fantastic careers, you know, Shane Williams, for example. But Jezzi's obviously very slight. He's not a huge presence. He's not a physical presence. And that is something to work on, because when you're going up in the air, the best players are the ones that are physically strong. They're confident in their physical ability. And I think that's the only question mark over him. And like you said, when you're in a Six Nations game and someone like Jalibert is putting the ball up into the corner and you've got thousands around you, you know, going nuts, that's when it counts. And you can't, in international rugby, have a player that is susceptible under the high ball. You know, you can't have it. And someone that might not be able to offer what he can in an attacking sense, you take
it's
that
trade-off,
because
isn't it?
It's a trade-off, and you bring someone in that has maybe not quite got the attacking presence, but is more sort of solid under the high ball and defensively. So, but that it's just a time will tell with him. Isn't it? Time will tell.
Yeah. I was saying, Otto, what are your thoughts, man?
But I think he can work. He has like margin to grow in the aerial game, in the position, really high. Because if you think, actually, guys, I don't know, maybe if Johan is taller than him. So to be fair, so it's all technique. It's all work that he has to do on the air. Maybe he's gonna change the way he can catch the ball. Maybe he has to go more high, like the new style. You see, like Caleb Clark going with, or the Freddie Stewart going with high hands to go try to catch, not to wait on the chest. So maybe he's gonna change something there. But he has to be tested on international level. You know what the point? Like, let bring it in the team. Hey, you can drop it after 14 minutes, knowing that wasn't ready. Fault of the coach in case that put it in the field. If we get so silly and mad against something like that, we have to understand it. But he's the best wing, left wing, he's the most informed wing, 9 tries, top Italian scorer for the second year, crazy numbers there. And we have to put, we have to let grow the potential and get better when in our weakest area. So why not?
It's a nice segue that to almost the next, but I know obviously we still got the unsung hero, but like you've hit the nail on the head, right? Like he right now is the most form back, isn't he? Like let's be honest.
If it's not now, when? I mean, can be in the summer, okay.
Exactly. But that's the only thing you could debate is when do you give him his chance? Do you wait for the Six Nations to be finished and then play him in the summer in games that are maybe a little less high profile? Not as much sort less of attention pressure. Or less pressure, or do you just throw him in at the deep end and go, right, let's see what you're all about? But maybe I don't think anyone
could... the team?
I think you have him in the squad, you keep him, and then you give him the number 23 shirt in one of the games. You know, maybe Wales in the last game when sort of potentially there's nothing really on it for anybody, and you can bring him on for 20 minutes at the end of the game. But that sort of thing, you know, there's certainly chances for him to be given at least some game time in the Six Nations.
Mike.
Yep.
Shall we move on? You mentioned it.
And now it's time for the unsung hero of the week for Zebre.
Zebre.
Boys, I went fast last time. It's your turn. But Zebre.
March.
Yep. See,
And guys, let us know in the chat because I see some viewers. So, guys, please comment who was your unsung hero of the week for Zebre? Go ahead, Marsh.
I can't help but I don't know if he's unsung particularly, but I love watching Giacomo Ferrari play. He's La a menace. Machina. The bloke is just, he's what we were talking about in terms of having that, as Mike likes to say, having that C about him, but in a bit more of a controlled way. And obviously every flanker has that about them. They have to play that position. And I just love watching him play. And I think every time I watch him, I just think he's immense. And he's the sort of player you just want in your team always. Like, why would you ever not play him? He's just like, say, he's a machine. And I love watching him play. And I think he is brutal. And there's another conversation about the back row and who plays where, and if someone's not a captain, does someone else pay potentially? You know, I don't want to open that kind of worms, but for me, Ferrari's just a monster. I love watching it.
Here, this comment sum everything together: Negri, Lama, Rogannone, Giuliani, Izegor, Vincent. Not a bad third row, no?
Yeah.
So, Mike.
Yeah. So, I wrote some names down.
Some names.
Obviously, Jersey was one of them, but he's not unsung, right? People are quite aware about, you know,
men
what
of
he
the
can
match.
Do. He was man, exactly right. So, like, we'll take him completely aside. But I put Zambo, Fisco, Nocera, Lucin, Bianchi. I thought all of those guys played a level up, and yeah, I think if we're talking about people who go about their business and get zero credit, Zambonini is turning into a very, very good second row. I say it almost every week. It looks like he's getting better. As long as he puts on a bit of weight and he works well, then we you know, he could potentially be a decent option for us moving forward. But I just think they've been, I can't really pick. I think Fischetti was exceptional last game. Again, we've spoken about him. I don't think we can call him unsung. So I am going to say Bianchi. I thought he was just fearless going into contact, and there was often the same way Benetton used Seb as an exit strategy in the 22. He was giving him front football to clear lines and They didn't. He punched well above his weight, and he just was everywhere, which I thought was quite nice to see. So that's mine. But yeah, I'm really interested in hearing yours. Obviously, with your cultured eye, let's have a listen.
Look, I'm going easy. It's easy. Lukin. I'm going with the same because it's key on the front football in attack.
He's brilliant.
That's work. It's there. So I don't have to say nothing else than he's a great, huge carrier. Always there. You don't see any. Never say a word to the referee. Always on point. Always focus on what he has to do. He's getting better skills with the ball, fixing, and then passing, pull passing the ball. So I'm going with Lukin. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And please.
I was just going to say, just to jump on that, like I said right at the start of the pod, the strike plays that he himself was in, I think he actually had sort of four direct contributions, and I think three of them led to a try and then sack in 22. Like, he is so instrumental in it. Well, at set piece, because, you know, Zebre were dangerous off set piece, and it's thanks to him. He's also a get out of jail free card. If something's going sort of slightly awry, they pass him the ball, and, you know, almost like I was saying with Bianchi, it's just a good way to get a quick reset and recycle the ball very quickly, you know?
Yeah. So here, Robbie just entering now. I forgot to mention you were going live, of course. So sorry, Robbie. If I don't remember next time, you can just enter in this link that I'm sending now in the chat, so you can join us and you can have some nice chat during the day. You can even meet Phantom in the family, which is the best thing that can happen, because he is our live updating on Linag situation. So
yeah, he's got his finger on the pulse about that. I mean,
that's true. So a lot of good stuff can happen in that life.
That group chat we have is wild.
It is, yeah.
It's pretty nice. Crazy people from everywhere speaking about Italy.
Yeah. I leave my phone alone for 20 minutes. No, and I've got 150 unread WhatsApp
messages. You can't.
I'm checking, guys. I'm checking if anyone's joining now. I'll accept you in lifetime if you guys join now. We're talking about.
Speaking of it, Mike, sorry.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel. Drop us a follow on X, former Twitter, and follow us on Instagram and TikTok. You can listen for a Telly D Rugby podcast on Spotify and every other platforms. We also have a group chat on WhatsApp. So message us to join the family.
Doc.
Boom.
Man. Fancy. I feel like being a Red Ben on Kill Tony. I don't know if you ever watched that kind of stand-up comedian podcast. Seems like to be Red Ben, touching the button, starting with stuff. But anyway, guys, Zebre great, Benetton even better. But tomorrow is a key day. Between tomorrow and next week, we're going to know a lot of stuff. Maybe more interviews, more... Italy, we are there. Yeah. Less than a month.
Italy beat England.
Gonna be hit England. Hopefully, yeah. So we can be drunk in Roma, Mike. That day.
If we win, I'm planning on getting taken. not even what's his face will be able to find me. Liam Nielsen. I'm done. That's it.
I'm done. Let's see. Wow, weird stuff can happen at Olympico sometimes, like under the snow can happen everything. But
Mike, you're not going with your missus and your kids?
No. Just missus and family.
Willing to be taken from your kids.
Hey, why do you think I'm willing to be taken? I'm going with my missus.
Yeah, leave her to it.
That's it. Yeah, no. There's a good question that came on, actually, and it's something that we didn't touch upon, and actually both of you should probably give it a crack. this one here.
Okay.
So for those listening, how would you explain the switch 12-13 between Brex and Menoncello? And it actually worked very well.
So,
budgets.
On the defensive side, maybe you can see that work to go on the second line of attack much more from Menoncello. But let's also say that that didn't happen a lot of times, maybe on set piece, that Menoncello has to fly out of the line to go and press the second line of attack. So that's what it means, that in this way you can have also Brex like more organizing and eating really strong the first carrier. But for the whole rest of stuff, like outside of the line out, I think it's pretty the same. You can put 12-13, you can put A, B, C on those jerseys. In my opinion, it's the same. You know Brex is going to be the hands. You know Menoncello is going to be the legs. Then both can do both things. But yes, the hybrid, the center of the... whatever you're going to put, Brex is going to be like a second play, like a second distributor more than play, because he always being called maybe behind the when to pass the ball. If not, he's going to just play flat or he's going to attack the line. So that's my opinion. Maybe I'm wrong, but that's my opinion. Doesn't change a lot, but just on the jerseys.
Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, I don't think it matters in today's game what numbers on the back. Potentially you can just mix and match, can't you? Just depending on what you want to do. Set piece, you can switch it up. Been something that's been done for quite a while for a lot of teams. I don't really have any issue with where they play. As long as they're both there, I don't really mind.
Yeah, I think I tried to answer this, yes, but why they just did now? I don't know. We should go check. Maybe for next week I'm going to look at when they switch, if they switch previously. But more or less, Brex, since last year, is doing this kind of a second play. And we know how strong he is with the legs, as mentioned Marcello at the beginning, the starting of the podcast. So...
yeah,
good stuff coming from that. Probably is the best center pair now. And Mike and March, 12-13, Brex Menoncello, or Menoncello Brex.
I always used to think it would be Brex at 12 and Menoncello at 13, just because Menoncello on the outside shoulder. If you get him a bit of space with the ball, he's potentially able to do more than what Brex can in that situation. That's how I always used to think about it, but obviously worked in both. So I don't really, not really sure at this point in time I have a preference, but it certainly worked well the other day.
That makes sense.
For me, it's the argument soft skills versus physical attributes. Like, one is a genetic freak, right? Mm. And one has well-rounded soft skills, and he's got a great anticipation for a tackle and the breakdown. He understands attacking phases very well, Brex. So how often does Brex sort of fly out the line and actually stop a really dangerous attack because he's understanding what's going on? There's that element to what makes Brex a really good player. And then Menoncello can pick a line, and he's just got brute force to get through it. So for me, I think, you know, for me, it's always tough. Like, I'd like to see, you know, against teams who have slightly more reserved sort of 10-12 partnerships, slightly more meek. So, for example, against England, I'd love to see Menoncello run against George Ford. I'd love to see, like, because...
but genuinely, he's injured, right? But yeah, absolutely. But
you see what I'm saying, right? I'd love to, or Smith then, okay? So like, Smith punches above his weight, but if Menoncello's coming at him at pace, like, there's only one winner there, okay? So like, I'd love to see that. It's different horses for different courses. Obviously, against a slightly bigger, let's say, if it was Faz and Ollie Lawrence, for the sake of saying, I'd love to see Brex there, like, obviously try and draw them in and give Menonche a little space to actually try and, like, so for me, it's sort of irrelevant. 12, 13 doesn't matter. But if we see him at 12, I want people to understand that it might be because of a reason, right? It might be because that they see a weakness at 10, for example.
Can be interesting to see. Here, there is like a lot of Mori fans. Again, reading the chat. Yeah, that's interesting.
Yeah. How's he doing, Ottavio? Do you watch much of it?
So we're going to have more news in the next couple of days about it. So hopefully we're going to have big news, because it's scheduled, guys. So keep an eye on this YouTube page to have more information about Mori. But now he has a little, he got a little injury, but nothing really worrying. So he missed a couple of games, but he played really well at 12 this season, and is there ready for. But Walter is asking about Marin. What do you think about those two guys? And then I'm going to give you some stats. Go ahead. What do you think about Marin, guys? Is he going to be in this group, next group? And is he the center, or is he a fly half?
Bit of a hybrid, isn't he?
Yeah. Do you want me to go first?
You go.
I'm going to upset a lot of people. I think he's... if we want a ball playing 12, then he's a great option. He's a great option, isn't he? I know that upsets a lot of people. But if we wanted a ball playing 12, there's only a couple players that could do that. Brex being one, Marin being another, Drago being another. Outside of that, Garbisi, and I can't think of any others. So if that's what Quesada chooses as the right path for this Italian team, having two playmakers at 10 and 12, Marin's a great option. And I can't emphasize the fact that last time he played at 12 for the national team with the flu, 16 tackles in 60 minutes, we won the game against Wales. That's all I'm saying. So, I don't know. Fair, isn't it, Otto? Like, that's much what your thoughts are.
Right.
Well, and we haven't even discussed Zanon. I mean, there's just another... Yeah. There's another player well, there, yeah. Isn't it? He's obviously played very well, but he's going to be one of those players that's hampered by Menoncello's return, almost, I guess, in the sense that he's getting more likely going to be shifted out a little bit. But was Zanon in both squads in December?
Yeah.
He was, wasn't he?
Yeah, he was. Yeah. The problem is, right, if we're looking at, again, we're looking at soft skills, there's few centres that we have that can do it. Zanon and Menoncello and Lukin, you could probably just say they're similar. Yeah, they're all like, you can bundle those three. If anything, Lukin's probably slightly more complete, albeit probably less powerful than Menoncello. But he's slightly more complete because of the reasons Otto gave. Like, he's definitely been working on his soft skills, like the pop passes and all that jazz. So there's not, like, as much as we have lots of options, it's all contingent on how Quesada sees the game. And actually, Ottavio, this is where you come in, right? Like, you've followed Quesada for a long time. Maybe you can give our fans and the people listening a little bit of an insight in terms of how you think he'll want to play the game with us.
So he spoke a lot in the last couple of days to the new newspaper. He spoke about, like, exit strategy. No, maybe we're going to switch a little bit of that kind of exit strategy we had. And then he wants to bring, like, a culture, his kind of, like, work ethic. I think that is going to be key. He wants to work with a group of leaders. Maybe some new leaders going to stand and they're going to be part of this new cycle as leaders, and some other one maybe they're going to drop, and who knows what's going to happen. But he said he talked about Lamaro captain, and maybe more straight lines. I think some adjustment on around the breakdown, maybe for the really a new defense, maybe we're gonna wait because of course Goosen is gonna end his work after the Six Nations with Italy, so big change is gonna come after that. And Pacific, wow, the Pacific tour in the summer is gonna be really, really interesting from that point of view to develop better players.
How much do you think we'll learn from those games, though?
How much games, Bob? Maybe two games with the Pacific plus the Japan game. So I think at least three games we're gonna have there.
Sorry to interrupt, because I think I might have missed something here, but I swear it was Canada and USA. Has that been scrapped now?
Yeah, seems like okay. Because Japan announces a summer tour, like his summer matches, and yeah. Italy's there. So I don't think we're going to move, like, think about economically, financially,
yeah, no, makes sense.
The situation.
Makes sense.
Probably we're going to move there, and it's going to be a different challenge for us. But for now, just some details, I think. Maybe it's because we have to keep that fast track has to be there. The light quicking ball that we want to attack. More box kick, Mike, March, I think. That is going to be the classic.
Stephen Varney.
Right. Enter Stephen Varney.
Well, that's his strength. That's his strength,
like. 11 kicks retained this season. Is the guy that kick box more of our nine, and the team that retained more Gloucester 11 times. So something mean.
March, something mean. I've got a question for you, right? So hypothetically speaking, right, we've got the Pacific, we've got the Japan games in the summer. Do you think like the Federation should be pushing for Italy A to go to Canada, to go to USA? Because it seems like if those are open fixtures, it just seems like a bit of a waste, doesn't it? Like not to send some players.
Well, yeah, I mean, if there's doubt over them and whether our first team will go there, then we should try and fulfill those fixtures with the A team. You know, we've done it. The A team thing has worked, I think, quite well. I think the emerging Italy as well. It'd be good, wouldn't it? I mean, we want to see. You don't often get the chance to give lots of players international experience against international quality. I know USA and Canada aren't sort of top of the range, but it's still, I mean, if we were taking an A side over there to face those teams, that's brilliant experience for like some of those young boys that would be involved in those squads. So it would mean that more players are getting game time in international against international quality. So yeah, I don't know why we can't still fulfill those and take some players over there for those fixtures.
Yeah. So
yes,
there he is.
Yes.
So gents, obviously I think we've got a couple of bits to talk about still. We've got our live 15, and then obviously I think Lupo, who, you know, just came on and he sent me his 33 man squad, and Richard just sent us his 33 man squad, and I think, you know, we're probably going to find ourselves somewhere in between the two. So Otto, take us away, my friend.
Yeah, just last two things, because we ask on Instagram who are the two best, like, meters per carries in of the Italian team. Yes, meter per carries, and the answer is Menoncello. With guys, he didn't play for a long time, but these are like 9.44 meters per carry. And Mr. Jesse, he played the whole season, let's say, 8.02 meters per carry. So those two are the best meter per carry player of the national team at the moment. With Capuozzo, with Pagliarello, with Ioane, with Bruno, with all the wings, everybody. Like, so the foreigners, let's say the Italians abroad, and the last called by Quesada. So no Lineag, sorry, no Lineag in this in this touch spot.
Phantom's gonna have a heart attack. What are you saying?
Yeah, love it. But yes, we have all the rest of the things ready for our dear Phantom. So guys, closing this, of course, we work really well. Actually, we work well. But I have to say thank you again to Lucio for the big work he put on. So I'm gonna just put this here for everybody, because we're gonna officially announce the opening of the Fratelli di Rugby Six Nation Selector. I'm gonna text it right now in the chat, so everybody can take a look to it. Well, this is gonna be the selector. What does it mean? That you can, first of all, subscribe to the channel. First of all, then open this link that I just sent, and you have just to log in. You have to log in with your Twitter account or with your email. Open your email and click on that link, so you have full access to this beauty that I'm gonna show you in a second. Here we go, squad selector. Here we go. 1, 2, 3, out. Magia, magia. Here we go. This is really, really fancy. Yeah. Love it.
Whoa, but I'm gonna put it
even bigger if it's possible. Let's say, yeah, this is the last team, because with Italian rugby brothers that we had last week, we spoke about all this. So this was the team we did together with him. You can see here, you can save your squad, because you can save the squad, and then we are really happy to to see what is the selection of the fans, because we send it in our chat the same, and this is what the people for now is thinking. So we have a big Jesse at 11, we have Alan at 15, we have Capozzo at 14, we have a 12 Menoncello Brex 13. This was me, this is the general one for now. But
so you can just back. To quickly explain as well. So obviously this is a general consensus. Otto, if you don't mind quickly clicking back just on the last bit. The numbers on the side of the names are the votes. So what we're going to be able to see, and what's going to be quite fun for us as Italian fans, and lots of, like, as it, you know, as this grows out a little bit, is the perception of people, even maybe people who aren't following Italian rugby, in terms of who our best team is. Because obviously there's some people who are going to follow rugby only during the Six Nations, and there's some who are, you know, URC fans, and they probably understand our best selection, you know, even from afar. So yeah, so obviously there's some which are really settled in, like Fisco here with 18, and the next one underneath is Pizzoli with 2, as an example.
Yeah, let me just explain, because we're gonna create our team now based on form, guys. So I want to just to remember, and this of course works on every phone, so it's not only from laptop. So I want just to say, look, we have Favretto, Iachizzi, Lamb, Zambonin, Nicolo Cannone, everybody here, but you can pick 3 players. Your first, your second, and your third selection, but be careful, because the first choice, like the starter, you're gonna get 3 points. Your second choice is gonna get 2 points. Your last choice, let's say the one that watched the game far away from the field, is gonna get 1 point. What does it mean? That if you pick, for example, let's do an example, okay? If I put Garbisi at 10. Okay, here now, for example, guys, you can, let's put Garbisi at 10. Okay, here in this case, I can put like a second choice, maybe Marin and maybe Montemauri. You cannot see Alan, because I picked Alan as a 15. Okay, so if you pick a player once, you cannot put it in other position, neither in like a second or third choice. That's why it's easier, let's say, with the first eight player with the forwards than the backfield, because you have so many players that can play different position. So just be careful of that. Save your squad. And of course, send us a screenshot, tag us on Instagram, everywhere, send it on our WhatsApp chat, so we can post it and we can see how each one of us think is the best team.
Yeah.
That's it. And now I'm going to just finish in to empty everything. We put May, for example. It's in the group already. Let's take off Brex. And let's start discussing, guys. You can start. I'm going to just cleaning a little bit more.
Guys can start the front row.
Shall we start from number one? I should start with you.
Can I just ask Riccioni, he's not fit, is he?
No, he's going to miss the whole Six Nations, I think.
He missed the whole thing.
Look, he put a story today because people was asking multiple times about when he's coming back. He put just a clisidra, I don't know, the sand turn. How you call it in English?
Oh, yeah, the glass, hourglass.
Okay. What? Hourglass. The hourglass.
Yeah, yeah. So the sand is what you're talking about, yeah?
No, the one with the sand in it.
Yeah, hourglass, yeah.
Okay, hourglass. Look, that's cool. Yeah. Okay, with that. So who knows? Yeah. Who knows? Let's see if he's counting. But guys, please enjoy this.
Sorry.
Clessidra.
Clessidra. Nice. Sounds better in Italian, doesn't it? Hourglass.
Everything sounds better in Italian.
Like everything. Yeah. Even pipistrello sounds better in Italian.
But come on, man. not when COVID's about, it doesn't mean.
Right. But so number one. Mike, I go straight with Fischetti, first choice. But second choice, it's Spagnolo. Third choice, Rizzoli. On form, those three are the better. Maybe even Spagnolo, probably a little bit really close to Fischetti at the moment, because was
there's not much between them at all. Yeah, yeah, so, yeah.
I go straight with this.
Yeah,
Fischetti, Spagnolo, Rizzoli, guys.
If you asked me before the weekend just gone, Spagnolo would have been in front. Yeah, but Fischetti helped them win that game, and that goes to show how important he is as a player. So, yeah, I think that's fair.
Are we also doing this with the vision of this team to play England or not? Or is this purely on form?
Let's say today on form. We're going to go closer to, but for today on form, I hope everybody's going to pick their the best 15 to play against England. That is the thing. But today is on form, Fischetti, Spagnolo, Rizzoli. On the other side, we put even Riccioni here, but he's going to start Ceccarelli, Zilocchi, or Nocera?
Mike. I've got to be honest here, boys. I haven't seen Ceccarelli play too much this season.
Lovely. He's playing really well, I think. Better than last year, in my opinion.
Better than last year. In which case, if he's better than last year, he starts, right? If Ferrari and Riccioni aren't injured, well, they're injured, we haven't seen them play.
Yeah.
So I'm going on your opinion here.
So Ceccarelli, Zilocchi, and for now, let's put Nocera. I don't think he's going to be picked. Maybe Pasquali, maybe Pitinari, Oasa for now. So, probably we're going to go with those three for the Six Nations at the moment.
Just a quick shout out for Nocera. Yep. Nocera's got he's got stopping power. He's got Full Metal Jacket when he goes into the tackles, and he's just killing men. He's absolutely killing men when he goes into the tackle. I know you mentioned it last season. For those of you guys who followed us for a long time, Otto always talks about how Nocera just stops people dead. But if you watch back at the weekend, I was keeping a close eye on him. He was melting people.
It's great, right? He played seven games this year. He missed five tackle, but he has an 88% now. But he can do a lot better. He got two turnovers won for now. Yeah. So some good stuff coming back after another injury, sadly. So those three are the guys. Hookers, the blonde Lucchesi.
Has to be, right?
Yeah.
March, of course. You agree? It has to be. It has to be. Yeah.
Guys, Faiva, I didn't watch Bath in the last games he played, so I really don't know what to say about him.
No,
but
I think trust that guy line out time. Can't trust him.
Yes, we need good throwers. So
Nicotera and then Faiva.
I think Manfredi deserves it.
Yeah, I'm happy with that. Yeah,
because he's playing better.
Well, he's also had more time. Although, objectively, if it was me, I think BG would be up there. I think it'd be like second or third for me. But anyway.
Yeah, but he's not in selection at the moment. Yes, yeah. I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
But Josh, agree with you. But this guy is not being picked. Maybe
no, I know. Now. Yeah.
Maybe it's gonna be the surprise. Huh? As a third, it's gonna be him and not somebody else. But for now, let's go. Let's go with those three. Number five. March, you wanna give us your thoughts on this starting?
I Dino Lam. Has been pretty sensational for Quinns.
Best season he's had, I think.
I know he's injured. I still don't think we know his.
No.
Injury spell. Still no news on that, which normally spells bad news. But anyway, I think Dino Lam for sure. And then Rutsa is in there too. I'm just thinking about both four and five now.
Nicolo Cannone maybe is a partner usually, or Yakitsi can be the new name, depending what kind of four we want. If we want like a hard worker of the breakdown, maybe he's not gonna carry one ball, he's gonna just clean out track in the center of the field. You want him like a much more versatile lock. That's the point. But
Dino plays five normally, right?
Depending, because with roots I change, and then the numbers can change sometimes. 4-5-5-4.
Those are my top two. My top two.
Which Rutsa and Lamb.
Roots and Lamb.
Okay, think about that on form. So today, Lamb is not available. Who's gonna be the like Roots? Okay, I think everybody we can agree to put Roots at five.
Yeah.
First of all, okay. Mm-hmm. Then here maybe we can also avoid to put the second and third choice. Maybe we can do the bench for both. But here, guys, we have Favretto is not playing a lot. It's Cannone,
Cannone. And actually, there's not much between him and Zambonin in my eyes right now.
No.
But Cannone first, for sure.
You know what? Now it's going to be interesting because both of them, Yakitsi and Zambonin, if we have to pick like the two pair, of course, we're going to put maybe Cannone and Yakitsi on the four. Zambonin,
I like Yakitsi.
Yeah. Yakitsi is probably, like, if we were talking about who's a better player, Yakitsi is probably a better player, but Zambonin's played a lot more. But he's played a lot more. So if we're doing it on form, are we saying Yakitsi got one man on the match performance. Zambonin hasn't had any, right? But Zambonin's played every single game. Do you know what I mean? Like, what are we constituting as good game time? Someone who's good enough to be picked over Cici, for example, or someone who had a very good game. I think, how many games he played two this season, right? Yakitsi
play, let me see. He played
total
seven games.
Seven
game, 557 minutes played.
Jeez. This is why we have Statman, mate. Like he keeps us true. He keeps us honest.
It's good with carries, actually. He's a low level of missed tackles. I can say on the other side, Zambonin played the 794. But the good thing about Zambonin this year is that he tackled 80 times, of course, the lineup, but he has like 85% on tackles. And for a second row like him, that usually we always think like maybe it's good for lineup, but not the rest of the work. He start to build up. You can see getting better. We saw the giraffe
boy. see him going on like his little giraffe run. That would be good.
So we have him actually. Oh, let me pin this message. Sorry. So I can, let me see if I can do it. Yep. I pinned the message. So guys, you can do the same games we are doing now. Just signing to this sixnation.italianrugbypodcast.com. So you can do it. Send us yours. Let's see. So we saw them, and let's move to the wow.
I'm not looking that forward to the next one.
No, and the same problem we had last week. Shout out to the Italian Rugby Brothers, because we said, come on, we can go traditionalist, we can go, let's say, starters, number six. Who's going to be your number six here? I go with the good old Seb.
I don't think anyone's the guy. Shifting that man, rugby, number one.
Although, like, just to keep Seb honest as well, I think Izakor's had a very, very, very good few weeks.
Good stats for him in Challenge Cup is the one of the best. Is the him and Jesse are the only two players in the top five of some stats in the of the good stats. Oh, like carries, tackles, and stuff. So defenders beat and tries. So big Seb Negri should start at number six. Look at these guys here. Look at these two guys here. Shiny, bella gioventù. The good old young fellas. So, and then we have, of course, Izegor. But okay, number six, we know. Let's do the first, the starting. Number eight, guys, Lorenzo Cannone.
Minus the blunder at the end of the last game, it has to be Vincent for me. Like, just because he scores
on shape. Yeah, because he played Cannone did not. So, yes.
Yeah. Yes. Also, you saved by the bell. Let's put that there. Let's table it, Vincent. Mama, yeah. Rossi boys, you did
actually. Sorry guys, I forgot we were doing in this four. So if I have to be fair, it's Vincent 8, 7 Zuliani, and 6 one between Ferrari and Ferrari and Izegor, guys.
Because
he's on form. Yes. Yeah. So on form, okay. Those three.
Oh, so we're saying this week played. Then. Okay, cool.
This week.
Yeah. Okay, in which case, it's easy, isn't it? If we're doing it for this week.
This week, yes. So I'm sorry, Seb. Sorry, Seb played, but if we put... No, Seb played. So never mind. Leave him there, Seb. But here, guys, the number seven is... it's Zuliani.
Yeah,
with Izegor from the bench, like it was the game actually.
Yeah, nice. Yeah,
and nice. On the other side, we can put Jack Ferrari.
And then I suppose also if we're doing it on this week, we could take probably Young Ross out.
Yeah, for the last thing, but he played.
He only came off the bench, didn't he?
Yes, but who has played in our number eight? Alafi, Favretto, and Lorenzo Cannone. Let's put it there in general. Our like
fast and loose, that's what we do.
Guys, number nine. Hey, on form, this guy from the bench changed Gloucester.
Varney played
very
well.
You mean change Gloucester? You mean Gloucester won a game?
Yeah,
2 games unbeaten in Champions Cup. Be careful, watch your mouth, Mike. Watch your mouth. Oh. Come on form, we were good this week.
You're running it
suffering
back.
Like crazy. Mamma mia,
such a race.
That was really bad this week.
No, it's fine. I'm happy with that. I didn't see NPR.
I didn't see him either.
Man, Pagliolo.
Oh, I heard good things.
Can't comment. No.
Yeah, he knows that feeling, Josh. Yes.
Yeah.
So Martin Pagliolo, and then guys, Gerbisi. Better than Pagliolo, I think.
Yeah, I was gonna say Gerbisi didn't do too much wrong, to be honest. Minus that ball he fizzed, and then he threw his arms up as if it was other people's. But other than that, he's pretty good. Yeah, happy that. Let's move forward.
Number 10, this week, Monte Mauri or Garbisi this week? This week. Ha! That's fun, yeah, because we're doing the based on form of the week. Was better,
Monte Mauri, I think. Just I don't
know. If both this week, showed some issue from the boot, from the team, sorry. Oh. But yeah. Monte Mauri,
I think he had, like, if we look at try assists, I think he had one direct try assist, and then he had one which was link play to a try assist. Mm-hmm. So he was the pass just before try assist. So he had two try involvements. And I think that made, like, do you know what I mean? Like, he fixed a player to make space for another player. I think that's why he's just in front for me.
Guys, Monte Mauri Garbisi, easy peasy for this week.
Yeah.
Then, guys, probably we're not going to have some, like, let's see. So 12-13, we have only to decide. Because both were great. We said unsung hero looking, but guys, Braxman on cello this week was the
pair. We can skip past this one quite quick. Yeah.
Okay. So Brex first, Menon. I'm gonna put nobody else because Lukin is not in the team. In general, last call.
Oh, because he didn't get selected. Yeah, you're right. He must do soon though.
Let's see. And now, guys, number 11. I don't have to tell you, right?
Easy, right? Picks himself. Yeah, he picks himself. Okay. Picks himself.
And Monty, even if he didn't play really well. This week, but he played better than somebody else, I think. So 15, the number 15 of the week. That's the point. You see, some players are not playing. Like this week, you have to pick only one player, which is Lorenzo Pani.
Aspen. Yay!
The boy has made it.
The boy.
Capuzzo wasn't there. And guys, I'm gonna just take Ioane out. From second choice.
He played 14, didn't he?
Yeah. He played 14. So, two words about Bruno's game. Two words. Two words, come on for me.
Come on as in come on positive or come on as in negative?
Come on frustrating. Come on frustrating this week.
Yeah, inconsistent.
It's him in a nutshell, isn't it? I like him when he's on it, but he's not always. Well, he's not frequently on it, is he?
I just think he's caught out a little bit at times. People know he likes to run. People know that he likes to run upright, and people know that he likes to offload. So he gets choked, tackled so often. Like, people expect it. Just been caught out a little bit, you know? Like, they've done good analysis on him. People
know. No, right. Guys, I was literally pissed for the try. For that situation with the kick. Behind there, because there is an advantage. You don't have to put your hand like you're not coordinated when you jump up there. You have just to wait and push the player out of the field or tackle him. You don't have to go try to anticipate in that situation where there is already. Come on.
I agree.
That's it. So I'm gonna put Ioane at the moment at 14, like we saw him this week. Okay, this is the team at the moment. Based on form, we have this. Wow, Jesse Pani, Ioane, crazy guys. Brex Menoncello, Varni, Monte Mauri.
We love that. I mean, like, obviously, you know, if we're saying best team. As in, like, we're picking a team to play England. It's different, yeah. But in terms of who played... Based on this... That's it. That's all we can pick, really.
That's some, like, some deep issues behind your words, I think, because that's what we can pick, because not all our players play every time. In some areas, we are busy. There is traffic. In other areas, there is, like, too much parking lot. So,
No, I agree with you. And, gents, I know obviously we're coming up to an hour and a half on.
Yeah, we're gonna.
So I know we probably need to wrap up. There's obviously gonna be the announcement tomorrow. I'd like to ask you guys quickly, just if you had the choice of a couple of ringers, couple of surprise players to include in a 33 man squad, who would you pick? Let's say one each. Go on, Otto.
One crazy name.
Yeah, just one Italian player that's played really well, like, and you'd love to see, like, included in the 33 man squad.
Man, you know what? I want to see. I'm going on the Mori train.
Nice.
I should have said Lineag, but I'm going to say Mori.
For context,
he's the core.
He's a core. Mori for me. And give contest, Mike, of the situation with Lineag. This is like a...
Yeah, so just a bit of context for everyone. In the WhatsApp chat, which we'll link again in a second for you guys listening, there's a Phantom who's a pod favorite, like one of the pod family. And he is almost obsessed to the fact that Lionel will play for Italy. Like he feels it in his bones. and there's sort of an ongoing debate about whether he'd make it into the team first and foremost. And secondly, if there are other players to sort of include. And Ottavio obviously saying, Mori is just like a dagger to his heart, so he's gonna feel slightly hard done by that. But you know, it is what it is.
Guys, a live update Wednesday. The list of the should be out. If I'm right, because I'm just reading a couple of Twitter from Lorenzo Calamai of on Rugby. He said Wednesday, so maybe they're gonna take. A day more. Let's see, because somebody asked already. It wasn't because everybody's saying it wasn't tomorrow. So let's see what's gonna happen there. But okay. Tomorrow, so, in 2 days, we're gonna be ready to.
Yeah. Comment. And for me, quickly, I'm just gonna say, I'd love to see May as a ringer, just like as an apprentice player. Let him learn from the boys. That's it.
My ringer. Okay. Great. So let me just save this squad, and I'm gonna save it on form 15 of January.
So January 15th.
Yeah, today. Cool. And you know what is funny, because we can also do something really interesting. So we can share it. Like I just shared it in the chat, so everybody can look at it. So that's it for 1.5 hours. Pretty interesting.
Yeah. Thanks so much, everyone, for listening.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah. Cheers, guys.
See you next week.
Very soon.
And more info soon about everything. Don't forget to subscribe and everything. So ciao a tutti.
Don't forget to subscribe to our YouTube channel, drop us a follow on X, former Twitter, and follow us on Instagram.